This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
We've all been talking about The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary that's been running on ESPN. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is NBA champion, three-time NBA All-Star, and former Boston Celtic Antoine Walker. Antoine is brought to you by Star Market and the brand-new Star Market at the Hub on Causeway, just outside the TD Garden. Antoine, it's Dale, Rich, and Wiggy. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? How you guys doing?
We're doing great, thanks. Staying safe, I hope, with you and all of your loved ones.
Yeah, I'm in Chicago. I've been healthy. My family's been healthy, luckily so far. And, you know, crazy times we're living in. So I'm just grinding through it, just like I'm sure you guys are doing every day.
Antoine, have you been watching The Last Dance?
Oh, yeah, of course. Must-see TV. Of course I've been watching it.
We saw the picture in last Sunday, the group photo they took at the All-Star game, and you were standing there when they had Michael sitting on the chair because he was the old guy in the group. What was Michael Jordan like as a teammate?
Obviously, I played all three of my All-Star games I played in with Michael, so that was actually I just was thinking about that the other day. I did play in all my three All-Star games with him, but I mean, Michael's great. I mean, All-Star Weekend, especially, that was crazy because, one, it was in Madison Square Garden, as I remember. And the media and the buzz was crazy because people were saying it could be his last All-Star game. So everybody was kind of, you know, planning out to be his last All-Star game. So they wanted to make it special. And you guys got to remember, I was the young pup on the All-Star team. So I was like the Christian Laettner on the 92 Olympic team. Like nobody really, you know, cared who I was at that time. But it was great, man. It was a surreal feeling for me personally as a young ball player. I grew up a fan of Michael Jordan. And then obviously the last three runs of the title, I got to compete against him. So, but he was great. He's always been great to me. So he was great to me at that moment.
Now, your first NBA game as a rookie was against Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, and the Bulls, a team that had just come off 72 wins and a title. And here you are jumping into the league, going up against those guys. What was that experience? What was that memory like?
It was an amazing feeling for me because I was a rookie. Like I said, I was a fan. I used to root for them. I was cheering for them just a year and a half ago when they won it in 93. Supporting them for those three titles, and then now I'm playing against them. So I was at awe, overwhelmed, nervous, and all those things the first time I played them. And it took me a while to get my nerves and my confidence up to play against those guys because they were so good defensively and as a group. And, you know, you had to catch yourself sometimes and being at awe and being on the same floor with them. But it's something I'll always remember. The outcome wasn't that great, but I ended up getting one against them.
Now, you grew up in the Chicago area, so you got to see kind of Scottie firsthand, Scottie Pippen. And I know we're kind of getting a lot from this whole Last Dance. Now, I thought, you know, me personally, I thought he was, you know, always one of the top five players in the NBA. What do you think that Chicago Bulls basketball team would have been like if they didn't have Scottie Pippen, just Michael Jordan?
Well, obviously, I don't think they win six titles. I mean, Scottie was a huge part of their success. They definitely do not win six titles. I'm not going to bet against Michael on how many titles he could have won, but I don't think they win six. I think, you know, that's one thing that people are learning from this documentary, how huge Scottie Pippen was to the team and organization. Obviously, he didn't get paid at the time, so people, you know, he got the short end of the stick. But at that time, people got to understand that a 7-year, $18 million deal was a pretty good deal in 91. You know, guys signed lengthy contracts. I think Magic had signed like a 10-year deal before he went through his trials and tribulations. But guys signed lengthy deals at that time. And it just unfortunately, you know, Jerry Krause wasn't willing to tear his contract up and make sure that he was well compensated. And Pippen kind of forced his hand. But it's unfortunate because he signed the contract. So, but Scotty was tremendous. I had him, you know, I think he showed the world. If people had any doubts or anything of him being a top, you know, 10 player in this league, he kind of put that to bed over this documentary.
We're talking with former Celtic and NBA All-Star Antoine Walker. When you were a player on an opposing team, you hadn't been to an All-Star game, you hadn't really had an opportunity to get to know Michael at all, what was the word around the league about what kind of guy he was?
That he was the best. I mean, from my knowledge being in Chicago and growing up watching him play, they said he was, you know, he was the best. He was an easy guy to approach, but also super competitive, which we all know how competitive he is as a player. But until 96, 97, 8, so I started competing against him, getting to know him a little bit, and I really didn't even know him that well. Obviously, until he came back in 2001 is when my relationship really kicked in with him. But just from the normal stuff that you hear around the league that people just say is competitive, just I give you an example. Just we beat him that 97, I think 98, we beat him that first game of the season. And I remember, you know, I dancing and celebrating and stuff like that. We come in the locker room, and he was like, "You guys will never beat us again." This is what he was yelling in the hallway. "You guys will never beat us again." That's the type of person that he was. He was very aware of everything that was going on. And our celebrations, and us celebrating like we just won an NBA championship, really bothered him. And he took it out on us the rest of the season, the other three games that we played him.
Now, Jared Jeffries was on a podcast last month. He, of course, was a teammate of Jordan when Jordan came out of retirement the second time with the Wizards. And he told a story, Antoine, about when all of you guys were working out, and one day, or the first day, you showed up in a Ferrari, and then Jordan decided to do something about that?
He told that story, really?
Oh, he did.
Okay. Yep. No, actually, it wasn't a Ferrari. I had a Bentley.
Okay.
So I had a Bentley I think I just got a new Bentley, and I drove it up to the gym, and he saw it, and so he proceeded to drive five different Ferraris the next 4 or 5 days in different sweatsuits.
Jeffrey said, he said, Jordan went up to you and said, I'm gonna drive a different Ferrari with the matching sweatsuit every day while we're here. And he did a different time every single day.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But, you know, it was always a competitive. I mean, it was probably, it's weird because it was a competition thing. But I couldn't compete with him. I didn't like little sports cars like Ferraris, but he did it to me. He put me to shame. Put my little Bentley to shame.
How many years did you do that in the off season working out with him?
I was with him for 2 years, from 2001, his last 2 years with the Wizards. We worked out together every day those two summers, and I became very close with Michael, obviously on and off the court, and some of the best time of my life being able to be associated and connected with him. Got to know his family really, really well. Got to know him on a personal level. And we trained together. We both would work out with Tim Grover every day. So it was a great for me as far as to learn his competitive drive at his age, how bad he still wanted to win and compete, instilling all that in me, instilling the fact that if you don't win, you know, it's about winning titles. It's about being a winner, and learning those things from him was second to none.
Now, one of the things that kind of stood out for me was, you know, Mike being like Teflon, right? Everybody, the whole slogan was, I want to be like Mike, right? And one of the questions I asked, you know, and I saw, you know, he didn't really like the negativity, some of the stuff that he was saying about him. What would it be like for him, even yourself included, right, to play in an era today in 2020 where a lot of athletes, you know, in all different sports, but especially in basketball, because you guys, you know, your faces are all over the place and generally, you know, you're 6'8 and above. How difficult do you think it is for players to be able to deal in this social media world that they play in now versus, you know, obviously when you played or even when Jordan played in the early 90s, when there was none of that, you know, there were no pictures, there were no Instagram models putting up pictures of people.
It would take a lot of adjusting. I think it is different. You do make a great point with that. I think we all would have adjusted, you know, at some point in our career. I think for Michael, it would have been super hard because of who he was, being a global superstar. But I think the way he carried himself, he would have adjusted. And the adjustment part would have been his fun things that he likes to do. He would have had to really be private with that, whether that was going to play golf, whether that was going to gamble, some of the things that he does. He's not a guy that was a homebody. Mm-hmm. He still was a guy that still got out in the public and did certain things. I mean, obviously, he opened many of restaurants. I mean, he was it would have took some adjusting. I do agree with you. But I think if it's one person that could have done it, he would have done it. He would have surrounded himself with the right people. His circle would have got even tighter. But we also wouldn't have got an opportunity, probably to know Michael Jordan the way we know him now. We would have had to really have a documentary come out like it is now. We wouldn't have got a chance to know him. So it goes both ways. I know I would have struggled individually playing this day and age because I like to go out. I like to party. I like to do certain things. So I would have had to watch that and be very smart in those things because of the camera, mm-hmm. because of social media, because of the people pull their camera phones out at every moment. So it probably would have made him more private, and we wouldn't have got a chance to get to know Michael the way we did.
You knew Michael Jordan as a workout partner, not necessarily as a teammate. I'm leaving the All-Star competitions aside for a minute here. Was he hard on you when he was working out, like he reportedly was hard on teammates in practice?
Oh, without question. So my first 4 years, 5 years in the league, I mean, I worked out every day, but I was a basketball junkie. I wasn't a workout junkie. I wasn't the guy that was going to eat weights and sit in the weight room and lift a lot of weights. I like to play basketball, so I would really just train, get in the gym and playing ball and working on my skills. Well, when I started working out with Michael, I got the weight training involved in my workout. He was working out with Tim Grover at the time, was the trainer, and I ended up working out with Tim Grover with him 4 days out the week. So I added that aspect of my game just for Michael. Didn't know how much we needed to lift weights to get through a season, but that was something he was very big on. It's maintaining your strength throughout the season. So that's something that he instilled in me. And then it's competitive spirit, the motivation to motivate my teams that it's all about winning. And it's hard to say, and I know, you know, it's kind of a cliche. Everybody says, well, he's competitive. It was really all about winning. He didn't care about anything else. We played pickup ball, and it was about winning. In the summertime, it was about winning. He wanted to know how many games you won in the summertime, too, as well. And if you didn't dominate the court that day, you know, he would give it to you on a consistent basis. So he made you come to work every day. So those 4 or 5 days out every week, you had to come to work in the weight room as well as playing pickup ball on the court.
What do you think of the grudge between he and Isaiah Thomas, which seems to be just as strong as it was, you know, almost 30 years ago?
It's unfortunate because I know Isaiah. I'm a kid from Chicago. I know Isaiah very well. So I have a lot of respect for him, but also got a lot of respect for Michael. I like the fact, for the most part, I mean, it's coming out a little bit more, they've kept it in the essence of basketball and competing on the court. But now, you know, it's getting a little personal. But it's hard to say. I mean, I love the fact that they both were very competitive. I got a lot of respect for Isaiah and what he was able to accomplish in his career, and we all have to look at that. He beat Magic. He beat Bird. He beat Jordan on their prime. So he should have a little, you know, he should be a little cocky, have a little mm-hmm. confidence about that he beat them. We all, you know, as an athlete, you got to have some type of sportsmanship. So I don't agree with him walking off the court. You know, you win and lose in sports, and they were very competitive. But, you know, it's nothing wrong with, you know, you don't have to sit there and hug a guy, but it's nothing wrong with congratulating a guy that's taken him 2-3 years to get over the hump to beat you.
Now, what do you think makes Michael Jordan, right? I mean, it seems like he's untouchable with everything he does versus, like, let's say a guy like LeBron or even Kobe when they played, being, like, you know, aggressive to their teammates or kind of, you know, making air quotes here, being a bully or saying things like, you know, Republicans buy sneakers too. Like, what is it that makes Michael Jordan just so untouchable that if, you know, if it was a guy like LeBron James who says the same thing, or if we heard a story come out that he punched one of his teammates, you know, they would criticize him to the end of time. I that's the one thing I'm learning about. Like, no matter what Mike does, we going to get his sneakers. What do you think that is, the reason behind that?
You know, I think Mike was good to his teammates. I mean, obviously, I wasn't there in everyday grind with them every day. But I do know a lot of guys that played with him on a personal level, from Charles Oakley, who's a good friend of mine, Scottie Pippen, Randy Brown, guys that I deal with on a consistent basis. Never have anything bad to say about Michael about being a teammate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not you like his off the court or what he does off the court never comes into play. And it's kind of, this shows, it's just like Dennis Rodman. Nobody got into what Dennis had going on off the court, but they appreciated what he brought to the court. So it's kind of one of those type of situations. Not sure. I mean, I'm not sure why, you know, Michael doesn't get as criticized as much as, you know, some of these guys. But it goes back to what you guys were talking about. You know, it goes back to social media and how the game is covered now. You got, you know, it's no privacy. So, you know, I think, you know, back then, you couldn't, some things you just didn't find out about. And some, you know, we're finding out a few things now with this documentary. But, you know, now everything these guys do is put into big, bold lights. And I think that's where the difference is at.
Antoine, it's always fun to catch up with you and talk some basketball with you. We really appreciate the time, and continue to stay safe there.
I'm going to try to. You guys do as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.